I want to teach on communion. I want to give you maybe a little bit different look at communion, or what we call communion, as a in a different vein, a different light, through the grace of God, okay, and what God's grace is, how he does and presents and has presented all the time the truth of his word, you know, the truth of his word and the grace that he has given by faith, and his love is all throughout the word. Rosie and I used to have a pastor we sat under for a while who, when we were very first coming into the understanding of God's grace, that means his favor and his ability to move, to do things we can't do. And this particular pastor really was all about throwing out the Old Testament and really only keeping the New. And what happened was he missed everything that the Old Testament pointed to in the New, and everything that was revealed about God's nature and character and love and his grace and his care and faith was pitched. So I want to encourage you, if you think that the grace message is new, it's not. It's been around since creation. And the grace message is throughout the Word of God. And it is the whole Word, and within the whole Word, Jesus came to bring the reality of grace and truth to us. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And help us to understand better, to see better, to perceive in a more clear way God's grace to us. Once you begin to understand, things begin to click. And as things begin to click in understanding his favor and understanding his ability, then by faith, it's so much easier to receive. It really is. In spite of what our lives have been like, and in spite of where we've been in our understanding and our revelation, in spite of all of that, as we begin to understand God's grace in a greater sense, that revelation gets bigger. We can actually begin to put faith to that understanding of who he is and what he's done and start receiving. Does it happen overnight for everybody? No. Because we all come from different backgrounds and different understandings and different churches and or no church. And we come into the kingdom of God and we've got preconceived notions, and we've got in our hearts, we've got things that we have put in there to protect our hearts that are still there. And as those get removed, because we can trust God, then we can start receiving by faith what he's given in his grace. One of those areas that God's grace really expands on, points to, and opens up in to us is the Passover. Now, I don't teach the law. You all know that. And we're not going under the law, but what I want you to get today is the understanding of the significance of the Passover, because there were two. There was the first one in Egypt, way back when, with Israel. Then there was the second Passover at the Last Supper with Jesus. And I want to explain these two things today as we go into. So the title of this message is called The Second Passover. Can we get the Miss Rosie? Thank you. You know what that means, right? Thank you. Yeah. That means one way. Up. Hallelujah. Would you go with me to Luke chapter 2, please? Luke chapter 2. This is Christmas time. understanding Jesus, getting a better understanding of Jesus, is what this is about. And I want to read this to you. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Jesus. The proclamation, the announcement of his birth to the shepherds and for the world. This was a world-changing event forever. For all people. This is why we celebrate his birth. When Jesus lived his life on this earth, he emptied himself of all things that were God, and he took on a human body. It's hard to comprehend this. It really is. Taking on something that is so far less than who you are. Going from God to a human being and a baby, no less. But he grew up and he lived his life because he was born to die. And as he lived, he was the very image of the Father and the Father's heart and the Father's plan and his will and his direction and all that he had for us. Acts 10 verse 38 says, "And God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So he was born for us. And he lived his life demonstrating the Father and who the Father is and clearing up misunderstandings of God's nature and character and love and grace and mercy. And then he prepared to die. Go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Hallelujah. And in I'm going to read this through and start in verse 17. Jesus is at what we call the Last Supper and what I call the Second Passover. He was at the Last Supper with his disciples preparing for his death. Verse 17, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" I had to be a little bit unclear to the disciples because Jesus hadn't died yet. And they were celebrating the Passover, the first Passover. "Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" So he's laid all this out now, and he's saying, we're celebrating the Passover, the first Passover that was given to Israel so many centuries ago. when Israel was delivered from Egypt, from the bondage and from the slavery, and all that came with that, we're celebrating that now for the last time. You see, the Jews, the Jewish people, Israel, celebrate the Passover from then because they don't have a Messiah they believe has come yet. But Jesus has come. And the Passover, the first Passover, in all that it meant, in all its ordinances, pointed to Jesus and what he would do, and salvation by grace through faith. That's what it was all about. And Jesus said, my body's going to be broken for you. My blood's going to be shed for you. And as you take this and share this amongst yourselves, what we call communion, I am going to become the second Passover for you. To see the second Passover, we have to understand what the first Passover meant. Now, you know that in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, First Covenant, if you really want to say that, because all the promises of God in the Old Covenant are still ours, right? It is the first covenant. All the promises of God in the second covenant are ours. And many times we have to go back to the first covenant to understand what was being done or said in the second covenant. So we're going to go back, and I'm really going to synopsize this. This is Exodus chapter 12. We're not going to turn there. But in Exodus chapter 12, God was revealing salvation by grace through faith in the Passover. This is what was happening. We think about Passover and Passover tradition being, okay, it's all about the slavery that the Egyptians had kept Israel in, and they're bringing them out. Great! It's so much more. When you look at the Hebrew and you understand the Hebrew and how the Hebrew works, and Hebrew is pictures. A lot of times it talks, the language itself speaks in pictures and in visual aspects. It's supposed to create a picture in our mind so that we get it, we understand it, and then it becomes a revelation, and it goes into our heart, and we can take hold of it, and it can become tangible, and when we believe it, we can see it. That's the whole point. That's a lot of the way Jesus taught. It's what we're supposed to do. It's why we have an imagination so we can see these things. So God was revealing salvation by grace through faith in the first Passover. Now, first of all, God had promised. He gave his word that Israel would be free. Israel was going to go into bondage. The Egyptians were going to do this. God didn't do this, but the Egyptians were going to take them captive and make them slaves. But the Lord had already planned and said, I will deliver them. So as the time gets really close, he sends a type of deliverer, which is Moses. And while the Israelites are preparing to be freed, to be set free, Moses was given instruction for them on what to do. God never, ever, ever fails to keep his promises. God never fails to be faithful. One of the things that we struggle with today in our lives, and this is pretty much anybody at some time until we grasp a hold of who he is in us and for us, is will he be faithful? Now, faithful in the Greek means trustworthy. Is it going to be trustworthy? We would never say that. Not out loud to anybody, but we would think it. We're always preparing for God to be untrustworthy, unfaithful. He never, ever, ever fails to keep his word. He is always faithful. So God's preparing to fulfill his promise to Israel, and he gives Moses instruction. And this is the same Israel. They had become idolaters for the most part. Idol worshippers. They've been surrounded and living in Egypt for centuries. And they were certainly living less than what God's promises were for them. So God says to Moses, here's the instruction. Here's what I want you to do. And I want you to think about the pictures that go along with this. What does this represent? What is this a type of? I want you to take an unblemished lamb. Give them these instructions. An unblemished lamb. Now, unblemished, all through the law, meant a picture of perfection in righteousness, sinlessness, unblemished, unstained, perfect. It was a picture of righteousness, forgiven, sinlessness, and so forth. Take an unblemished lamb, slit its throat, and put its blood at the doorpost of your house. Now, there's some violence in there. This gentle little lamb, cutting its throat, draining its blood, taking its blood and putting it on your doorpost. Now, how weird is this? Everything has a reason, and everything is a type. Everything is a picture. Put it on the doorpost of your house. And then he said, you're to roast the lamb. And I thought, that's kind of weird. Don't boil it. Roast it. And the roasting, and I'm going to tell you that this is my own understanding of the roasting, was a picture of the torment and the pain, excruciating, that Jesus went through on the cross. And they were not to leave the lamb left over. They were to eat it that night or put it on the fire and burn it. It was to be a one-time sacrifice. It wasn't to extend. This wasn't a food source. This was a picture of salvation and deliverance. Eat it the same day and don't leave it. They were to stay in their house. Now, the picture is, when they're done putting the blood on the doorpost, they're to walk into the house and close the door and stay inside until morning. Period. They're to enter under the blood, which represented safety and security and protection from death and judgment. And he told him, I want you to take all the leaven out of your house, all the yeast that makes bread rise, because you're not going to have time to wait. When this happens, this is going to happen quickly, 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 quickly. You're not waiting for anything. And then the Lord said to Moses, tell them I'm going to pass over the houses with the blood on the doorpost. And I'm going to judge all the gods of Egypt. And the angel of death will take out the firstborn of every family that is not under the blood. The legacy, what carries on from that family. Tell them to eat bitter herbs as a part of the celebration, to remember the hard bondage, what it cost them, what they had to pay, the price for the slavery that they were in, the bondage that they were kept under. They had no choice. They were stuck. Generation after generation after generation after generation, being kept as slaves. And treated as slaves. And they are to ask the Egyptians for their wealth. their gold, their silver, their clothes, and allow them to give them to them. And one thing that David, King David, records in Psalm 105 in tandem with this is that none came out feeble. And so during the night, in the house, in the place of safety and protection and preservation, something happened to those that were came in under the blood. And none came out feeble. None. And then they left Egypt, the place of captivity, the place of bondage, the place where their identity had been. And they left Egypt in the morning and walked into a brand new identity as sons and daughters who were free. This first Passover revealed the Messiah they were waiting for, who would come and deliver Israel and the world from the bondage of sin and death. That's what God was pointing to. The Jews, as best they could, I suppose, believed God in his promises that they would be freed one day. And by that little tiny bit of faith, God supplied his ability, his grace, and his favor, and in faithfulness, kept his word and delivered them, pointing to salvation by grace through faith, and all that salvation means. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the captain of our salvation, reveals one of the mysteries of the kingdom in these statements. Go to John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6, I'm going to start with verse 53. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes about the mysteries of the kingdom are made known to us. The Holy Spirit lets us know the mysteries of the kingdom. And what Jesus is doing right here is letting be made known one of those mysteries that have to do with the second Passover. John chapter 6, verse 53. And Jesus said to them, now he had just gotten done speaking about being the bread of life, the bread from heaven. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And the first thing that everybody thinks when they're, are you kidding me? Jesus? Are you out of your mind? We're not cannibals. But the first thing that they do is go to the carnal thought process. Miss Rosie? Thank you. So the first thing they think is you know, really to go to the carnal aspect and think about, okay, literally? Are you serious? Remember, Hebrew and Aramaic, they both have a lot of the same tones in language. Jesus is saying, I want you to think about this spiritually in what this means. I want you to look at it through the Passover. I want you to look at it through the first Passover and the meanings and the types in the first Passover and salvation by grace that was presented then. And I want you to hear this. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. You know what he's saying? I'm the Passover lamb. I want you to see the type of who I am and what I have for you. I am the second Passover. When you eat my flesh and drink my blood, it is by faith that you enter in to every promise of God and everything God gives by salvation, by grace through faith. This is what it looks like. When we celebrate the second Passover or communion and do this in remembrance of him, we are rehearsing and embedding into our memory and our heart, becoming a part of him and he becoming a part of us. We are getting embedded into our heart what Jesus did and provided on the second Passover when he became the lamb for us, sinless and innocent, and exchanged his life for ours. The blood on the doorpost of the house in Israel, where we enter through his shed blood on the cross, and it is in this house, this body, that it takes place. He enters into us, and in this house is security and protection and covenant promises. Can we get those main doors open, please? And God passed over the sins of our lives and the judgment and the wrath and the death that we were due, and God put it all on him for us. And the bitterness that was represented in the first Passover, the regret and the consequences and the bondage to sin and condemnation, he took on himself and removed from us. And there's no going back. And the picture of the leaven being removed from the house is that our salvation and our deliverance, our freedom, happens quickly as soon as we believe. We gained his inheritance, and we prosper from his wealth. He took on himself every debilitating sickness and disease, injury, and pain, and provided the fullness of healing in every area of our minds and our hearts and our bodies. And leaving Egypt, for us, it's leaving our old identity behind forever. Entering in and staying in the new identity that we have been given in him as a new creation in Christ. When we eat his flesh and we drink his blood, Jesus is saying, I want you to participate by faith in this second Passover of who I am and what I have done for you, what your salvation is, what the promises are for you, what is fixed in heaven and fixed on earth. It belongs to you and it is your right. Amen. When we celebrate communion, all those things are finished when we do it in remembrance of him, the Lamb, born to die for us. Praise God. Ushers, would you like to hand out the elements? You know, as we prepare our hearts, to share the elements, I really want you to think about Jesus being this second Passover. And what does that mean for you? Is there any area of your life where there's lack? Any area. I don't limit this to only money. Okay? Prosperity comes in all forms. Is there any area of your life where there is lack? Anything. Whatever comes to mind first. Jesus has dealt with that. Is there any area of your body that isn't functioning right? I'm going to share with you. I walked in this morning and I'm out there doing a little work on the pavement, sweeping this floor out there, or the pavement out there, and my back went out. And I thought, you stupid, foul liar. Anyway, you can see, okay? But I want you to understand, that was like the weirdest thing. Why are we surprised if things come? Because they will. We're living in a corrupted world. But you see, what really has been provided for us, the reality of what has been provided for us, is healing. We are not subject to what happens to the world. It's getting this, please hear me on this. We're always looking for the magic bullet. Why doesn't it happen all the time the way that I think it should? Well, it's simple. Our hearts aren't receiving it. That's the only problem. It's not that God hasn't done it. See, it's not that Jesus hasn't given it. It's not that it isn't a part of our salvation, just like prosperity. Just like prosperity. Why? It's because it's only because our hearts haven't said okay. Our minds have, but our hearts are resisting. That's all. We're going to deal with our hearts today. Okay? Is there any area that you might still be in bondage to sin? Whatever comes to your mind first. Any area that the Holy Spirit's highlighting. Because you've been set free. And you've been set free not only from the sin, but the condemnation, the penalties. There is no penalty phase. Okay? Free from regrets. I've had regrets. Things I've done in the past and hurts that I've given people and caused. And God has set me free from those. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. Now, you all know that I don't have a pedestal to stand on, right? That's been knocked away 1,000 times. I want to be real. Jesus has set us free from sin, condemnation, penalty, regret, and the pain, the emotional pain that comes from that we so many times live in, which leads to depression and anger and all these other kind of emotional issues. We don't have to have that because He's delivered us. He's delivered us from every snare of the devil in our lives. Everything. Everything that the enemy can hold over our head. Everything that, or thinks he can. Every lie that he's tried to deliver to us and shovel into our lives. We don't have to. We don't have to accept it. We don't have to have it. You see, our salvation is by grace, God's ability, in what Jesus accomplished for us, that we take by faith. We just believe it. That's all. God meant it from the very beginning, the first Passover and the second Passover, to point to his ability, his grace for us, which comes out of his love. And if we can simply accept this in our hearts, all that he's bought and paid for, you know we can have it. Because it's right there. I mean, it's right there. It's only our hearts that block that door. Are you ready to receive? Shall we celebrate the second Passover? Celebrate our Lord, our Savior, our healer, our prosperer, our deliverer, our preserver, our safety, our security, our righteousness, our joy, our peace, our sound mind. I think we better stand. We're going to get serious. I'm going to say that every single person in here has got something. Everybody. Everybody. That you're wrestling with, struggling with, continues to come back. Thoughts that are relentless, that are not true, not the Lord. Symptoms that are what the Bible calls lying vanities. Areas of lack in all kinds of parts of your life. They are beaten. They are whooped. By our Lord and our King. And it happened on the second Passover. And we're going to remember him today and what he did. And our hearts are going to believe and receive that all is provided for us by his grace. Let's take the bread. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for taking on flesh and being born to die for us. Lord, for all you did and accomplished by your death and burial and resurrection for us. It is provided, and we in our hearts agree with you that it is furnished, it is supplied, it is completed to us and for us. In your name, Jesus. Let's take the bread. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for being.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's take the cup. As we share in the shedding of his blood, his sacrifice for us, we have entered under the door into the place of safety and security and preservation and fulfilled promises and his faithfulness into all he has for us. We have entered under his blood for us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for shedding your blood. out of love for us. We receive in our hearts the reality of your promises for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the cup.
Hallelujah.
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 What a good God. What a wonderful Lord we serve.
Hallelujah.
Who has so freely given to us.
Hallelujah.
Freely. This is what Christmas is. The best gift we could ever have was Jesus. And God's salvation by grace through faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Does anybody need prayer? Does anybody need prayer? Anybody want to celebrate? Where's the musicians? Anybody want to celebrate? Hallelujah. Why don't we celebrate? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Holly. Thanks, Carmina. I think this is a good time to celebrate. If you need to get the kids, it's okay. You can bring them in. All right? But those of you that want to celebrate, let's rock. Shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Freedom. Freedom. We're no longer slaves. We are no longer slaves. No more. No longer. We are freed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being our salvation. Thank you for being our righteousness. Taking our sicknesses and diseases. Taking our lack. Thank you, Lord. Can you do "I'm no longer a slave to fear"? Can you do that song? Are we on the same page? Cool. Can we get it up there? Hallelujah. 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 We're no longer slaves to fear. Ever. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Halamako samatiki dia. Halamakoda asati asa adama. Helele helele hikarasata. Oh, Lord, we worship you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Yeah.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song.
Do you need prayer today?
Yes, sir.
Of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. One more time, you unravel me. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance. Of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Woo! Hallelujah!
I am a child. From my mother's womb, you've chosen me.